What's going on, world? This is your host, Brother Malcolm, and welcome to another edition of Culture Connection. Culture Connection. You know, no one ever sent in a jingle, and I'm a little offended that people did not reach out and touch me with their harmonies. But it's all good. If you have a Culture Connection jingle, we'll take it. You know, come hit us up. You know, we would appreciate it. Otherwise, you'll have to hear me say, Culture Connection. Anyway, let's get focused. This week, we are joined again by the Black Ace fam. Ladies and gentlemen, please give it up for Brother Chris Lehman from the Brothers Lehman Happy Hour.
What's going on, y'all?
And I haven't given her proper due in a minute. Ladies and gentlemen, head negress of this here charge, of this here domain, Black Is Online. Give it up for Casey Lehman.
Whoop, whoop. What's up, everyone?
Thank you very so much. So happy to have you two on. Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, without the Lehman household, just doesn't happen. So we have to always give a shout out of thanks to them.
Appreciate it.
This week we are talking about the best man holiday. It's like our new preacher's wife, people. It's our new Love Jones. It's our new dead president. It's our new best man. And we're very excited about it because the movie is bomb. Yes. And spoiler alert, obviously if somebody says they're going to talk about a show, a movie, a play, a concert, like it's a spoiler alert. So I don't even know why you have to say that, but if you haven't seen the movie, don't listen. Actually, listen. Just come back after you've seen the movie. So, Best Man, I believe all of us saw opening weekend. I was very happy to be able to support opening weekend. That means a lot, you know, to the movie. I'm so proud. It brought in over $30 million.
Yay. And it that was knocked out Thor.
It almost knocked out Thor. Was Thor 37? Thor was, no, it may have been lower than that, 32. Thor was pretty close to the $30 million. And, I mean, obviously, the only major controversy was USA Today calling it a race-based, race-themed film. Fools. Attention alert. Themes of love, friendship, betrayal, cancer, kids, and the holidays do not belong to Black people.
No.
So ignorant. It was so frustrating to see that, but we're not going to start off on that negative note. We're just going to say you, USA Today, get it together. Post-racial America, get it together. That's why folks can't stand y'all sometimes, because you make comments like that. That don't make any sense whatsoever. Mm-hmm. A race-themed movie. Why? Because it's all Black people? Because
no one said that on love. Including the director.
Including the director.
So that must make it a racial
theme. It must make, because my God, Love Actually, and every other film with all white people is certainly a white raced themed movie that we all must endure, because y'all don't have any respect for our cultures. And
because there's no Black people in your world.
There's no Black people in your, and you know what? There aren't. That's the truth, actually. There are no Black people in your world. Hence, I mean, there certainly aren't any Black women in Lorne Michaels' world on Saturday Night Live. So we know that it's very possible. One of the things that I just want to begin by saying was what I loved about this film, one, is oftentimes we are concerned that you just don't see middle-class Black people in film, on television, in plays. And these are obviously upper-middle-class Black people.
Mm-hmm. And look, we should probably be clear. Not that we don't see successful Black people. We don't see successful Black people not acting a fool.
Not acting a fool. Exactly. And these, obviously, everybody in this is doing really, really well. You have a character who is in his prime in his football career. You have a character who is a major executive at MSNBC, a major New York Times bestselling author, a housewife, and then a guru, a marketing guru. So the thing about this, for those who don't know this, and I do have some white colleagues that listen to Culture Connection. Shout out to my white colleagues. God bless you and thank you for listening. But I do want, let's make this a teachable moment. There are black people like this that exist. Yeah. We know them. Mm-hmm. We actually are friends with them. I just came off of a major cruise for my best friend's wedding, and I felt like I was probably in a version of this movie. I mean, most of the people on this cruise were doing very, very well, and they work in major industries, doctors, marketing, bankers, and we all were hanging out, having a good time together, and it's just refreshing to see that, see those, you know, and I'm not going to say that's one type of life for us, but shoot, if you're going to show Precious, show The Best Man Holiday. You know, if you're going to show 12 Years a Slave, you know, I guess show the Tuskegee Airmen. It's like we want, what we've been wanting as far as imagery, particularly in black cinema, I think, is the spectrum. And that's what I appreciate about this movie, is that there's a spectrum. And I'm not going to lie, I tried to stay off social media, and the one thing I saw was it's an emotional roller coaster. And that's when I knew, I was like, oh, shoot, it's about to go down. Like, it's going to be laughing, crying. And I kind of figured somebody was going to die, but it didn't hit me until I really realized why Monica Calhoun looked crazy. Because at first I was like, ooh, she didn't age well. Everybody else looking good. She did not age well. And then obviously, of course, she had cancer. So what did you guys think? What are your thoughts? What were your first impressions? How were you impacted? You guys are a couple, so did you feel lovey-dovey? Did y'all hold each other's hands? And
It was a cute movie. We were excited. We decided we went that Friday night.
Holla.
Went to the
scene. Did you go to the rave? Black folk.
Yes, we did.
Mm-hmm.
And
they're laughing at me because this will be another podcast, but I went to the rave to see 12 Years a Slave, and I had to walk out and get my money back because people were acting ignorant. That was the sidebar. But anyway, keep going.
I like the fact that they actually left some of that. It's like, all right, we are 10 years on. We got kids. You know, people are doing well. But those lingering emotions were unresolved.
Mm-hmm.
So it was cool. Like, okay, it wasn't like, you know, we got married. Now everybody's friends and everybody like.
Yeah, no. The tension. You could really feel the tension. Like the moment it started, I was like, wow, that's always a sign, I think, of a really good sequel. I mean, it's been 10 years. They did 99 when they did this?
Yeah.
It's been way more than 10 years.
It's
like
15 years, but.
It was amazing that the tension was still there. That's a good point.
I love that part. Mm-hmm. But I was really shocked that nobody else was like.
Picking up on it?
Yeah, like, why is she so, like, her, especially the girl, all her girlfriends, like, why are you not, like, you looking kind of thin? What's up?
Only Harper picked up on it. He was the one, he was like, doesn't Mia look a little thin? He said that to his wife.
But that's what's interesting about this, is how people can be so self-involved. Mm-hmm. They, you know, her lion sister is completely egotistical and into her own life, and everybody was, and Mia was so, not Mia, what was Nia Long's character's name?
Jordan.
You know, Jordan is sitting here bouncing between her new white men are snowflake.
Snowflake.
My bad.
they said it in the movie.
What are they called? What are the men? What's the white male version?
Ofe.
Oh. I didn't know that. Okay. All right, Ofe.
I'm
Ken.
Yeah, Ken.
She had her Ken, and you know, she's worrying about Harper, and it was so I could see how people were just not focused on Mia. And Mia had the kids, and you know, Mia was playing hostess, so she probably was, you know, not in everybody's face and everything, but you knew something was wrong because she just was.
Did not look good.
She didn't look good, and she was just on the surface of every scene, and she looks just so happy. I thought that there was something going on with the marriage, which was really breaking my heart.
That's what I thought.
It was breaking my heart. I was like, oh no, I hope he's not like cheating on her or. Mm-hmm. And thank God, Malcolm Lee. Shout out to another Malcolm doing brilliant things in this world. Yeah. The director, I'm just so thankful. He wrote it too.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm so appreciative that he didn't go there. Like, no. Like, they were a strong black couple with a foundation of God, had those kids. I mean, that scene where she called him in that game, That was real. That was so real. I was like, yeah, I could see a Negro getting a call from his wife, his on her deathbed, dying wife, in the final game to break the record. I could see, yeah, I could see a dude doing that, like getting on that phone. Because I know she was like,
for she's Christmas, like, he ain't playing right.
Mm-hmm. That's all I want.
Mm-hmm. It just said what needed to be said.
Just said what needed to say. And I love that love can do that. Mm-hmm. That was beautiful. I mean, just so many beautiful moments. Just having the kids around, I thought was great. And I was telling the people I was with, I'm not gonna lie, y'all. We don't even have to do this when we make it big. Honestly, I want us to promise that we will do things like dress up and come eat dinner. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? Like, I thought that I love the simplicity of, like, come to our house, but no, there's an agenda.
Right, there was a weekend plan.
We're gonna have formal dinners mm-hmm. at our dining room table. We're gonna have events. They had the talent shows. And that everybody had a room and everybody had a space, and that there was an agenda that was in everybody's room. That's what I would love to do with my friends. Mm-hmm. Because it means I invest in you guys just as much as you invest in me. And a lot of us do this in our jobs where we put on these events. And I'm like, we do this for other people, but we never reap the benefits. And I'm like, I would love to do that for my friends. Mm-hmm. Where, you know, you go all out and every detail means it's so important. Mm-hmm. I mean, they had every detail from, like, Christmas Eve, having, like, the Christmas pageant. Like, mm-hmm. I just was like, this is crazy beautiful. Down to the community service.
Yeah.
Which was so beautiful. I was like, yes, yes. Here we go. PSA for Culture Connection. If during the holidays you are not doing something for someone else, you're selfish. Period. Get it together. Like, we don't do enough as it is. But my God, during the holidays, the least we can do is help somebody else have a decent holiday. Mm-hmm. Getting off the soapbox carefully.
Well, I thoroughly enjoyed the movie. I have to say, I felt like Terrence Howard totally stole every single scene he was in. He was awesome.
He was hysterical.
He was so funny. And his character of Q Quentin, I love the fact that he has evolved because when we meet him in the original Best Man, he's kind of career all over the place. Yeah. First, he was a musician, then he was doing this. And now he's found his place mm-hmm. in, look like, marketing and branding. Mm-hmm.
He's toned down.
He's completely toned down. And I love the fact that he remains being the one homie that keeps it so utterly real and sees through people's facades.
And it's I love the vulnerability of Q, honestly. Yeah. Like, towards the end of the film, you really see a lot of his vulnerable side, even to the point of, like, can we make this work, blah, 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 but with homegirl. But for me, let me back up off this mic. Sorry about that, listeners. For me, I just appreciated that Terrence, I'm not necessarily the biggest Terrence Howard fan, I'll just say that. Mm-hmm. But I feel like in this role, this was Terrence's sweet spot. You know, because he has dramatic actor in him, but his comedic, he's such a funny actor. Mm-hmm. He has such comedic timing. And for me, I just love the nuances of his role. And I really love the two, Harold Perrineau and what's her name?
Regina Hall.
I even love that storyline. Mm-hmm. And when they came back and she's like, I did it once. It was just so heartfelt because we know at this table, we know some folks that have done some things strange for some change in college. Can I get an amen? I know quite a few. And I'm like, can you imagine if the one time that you did something, it was recorded and now 10 years later, you're having to deal with that because of the internet. Mm. And that was a major thing because that would happen. Like, you would lose a major donor over that.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so for that to be their challenge, I just thought it was, it had a level of depth that for me was engaging.
Yeah.
I mean, there were some things that felt a little contrived. You know who I could have really dealt without, but I know she was there for the tension, was Housewife. I just, her yeah. whole... her whole storyline, I just was like, that was
they had to make her fit because it didn't make any sense as to why she would be there considering at the fact that they weren't in a relationship. But I love that I love the fact that it felt like, even if this is not the case, it felt like Malcolm Lee took time to write the script because every loose end was brought back into play. Every Absolutely. Single one.
And that was beautiful. And I heard that they weren't going to film until everybody agreed on the script. I heard all of all eight of them had to agree on the script.
Okay.
So that's probably why it took so long. Okay. I mean, among other things. I think it's a shame, you know, just to go into another, you know, a sidebar for a moment and a tangential moment. I think it's a shame that actors like Morris Chestnut and Monica Calhoun, you know, and Harold Perrineau, that they don't get work. They're talented actors. I mean, the fact that you're seeing this ensemble, Nia Long, like this, the fact that you're seeing this ensemble together for the first time, it kind of breaks my heart that we don't have those opportunities. And why does it take this long? And you know, then you still have to deal with, you know, publications and media calling it a race themed film. And I'm like, when are we going to get to a point where our stories are just as mainstream as your stories?
Yeah,
you know what I mean. And to take it back to the movie, I mean, that first shot of that house.
I'm like, he got a nice check.
I'm not going to lie. I got moist. I'm just kidding. I was like,
damn.
Right.
Oh, my Lord. This is a beautiful home.
When he was like, he's going for the Russian record, I was like, oh. He paid in.
Oh no, he's paid. Yeah. They're multi-million. Yeah. I mean, because you know they're living in a multi-million dollar home. If they don't have
to bring nothing, like, hey, we brought pajamas for everybody.
New Jersey?
I'm like, what?
And they're like New Jersey.
Yeah.
So you know the house is not like California prices.
No. So it's ridiculous. And the thing is, I do feel like the industry is changing a bit. I mean, considering the fact we have this film in theaters right now, mm-hmm. along with 12 Years a Slave and 99. I mean, what was running up against The Best Man at that time that had black actors in it?
True.
So
because Spike was sort of it was Spike's era. So Spike, if it was Spike didn't have a film out, who was competing?
Right.
I mean, you had just come off Love Jones. You had just come off Dead Presidents.
But it was normally like we had a film.
Oh yeah, like once a year, once a year. And this is what's crazy. Like it's taking that. Wow. I mean, it's interesting. I've talked to a few of my friends, and they talk about it is interesting that in the age of Obama that all these nostalgic films about servitude and slavery are coming out.
Mm-hmm.
And why now is mm-hmm. it chosen to choose those specific films?
Mm-hmm.
And the thing I like, and it's interesting, I read an article, was it in Huffington Voice, Black Voices, talking about how white folks flock to see Django and 12 Years a Slave. But why won't they come see Best Man Holiday?
They don't feel like they can identify.
Well, first of all, it's like, oh, but you can identify with us being enslaved and being your help. It's a very interesting question to ask America in 2013. Mm-hmm. That you can't relate to a quote-unquote post-racial American black, so you won't go see these couples having a good weekend, but you absolutely want to go see us enslaved?
Mm-hmm.
You absolutely want to go see us playing your maids? Like, what is that about? Part of it is, I think, it's still revolves around them. Like, oh, we can feel some more white guilt. Oh, we got some white characters in Django. Oh, look at what these white people did to these black people. Shame, shame, shame. When Black Man Holiday, what about you? It was about us. Now, granted, we're part of the American landscape,
mm-hmm.
but I'm baffled that people, that white audiences couldn't think they could come. Now, when I was standing in line for the movie, I did see an old white couple. I loved it. They saw all of us waiting for the movie to go in. As I will say, folks showed up on time before the doors opened. With the movie theater I went to, we were there 30 minutes early. They hadn't finished cleaning the theater. Folks were there and, like, lined up. And this white couple walked by, and the woman said, oh, I want to go see that Holiday Man, Holiday Best. It looks so good, looks so wonderful. And it was good to hear an older white couple say that,
mm-hmm.
right.
because I'm like, yes, it's okay to go see it. Like, see us not in chains and serving you. We're actually really cool people. We actually have a lot of fun. And this, and you can get the essence of black, of black people. Like, right. That's the thing I loved about it. I'm like, yes, we're fun, we're witty.
Right.
They know that.
You know, it's just like,
but it's a side that's
but
not
But you
really
never
shown.
See it. You don't see us hanging out. You don't see us with our families, right. with our friends. It. And I'm like, I don't want the Braxtons or any of these housewives. I don't want any of that to represent me.
No, I just think the issue of slavery and any issue of prejudice, which I'm going to start using that word versus racism. Racism to me is like an intellectualized way of talking about prejudice, but prejudice kind of just takes it to the bone. Because when you're prejudiced, you have a wall up, straight up. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Racism. You can try to have some gray area there.
Well, yeah, you can say, I don't want to dominate you because racism is about, I think I'm superior to you.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's a prejudice, like, I just don't like you.
Exactly. Right. And a lot of time what we're dealing with is just straight up prejudice. Wow. And I think when we're talking about issues of slavery or any situation where we're black folks are dealing with prejudice, it's polarizing on for both black and white. And that's why both groups would flock to a film like 12 Years a Slave, like The Help, because it's our mutual discomfort with the situation. Mm-hmm. I think the same argument could probably be made for a film like Love Actually. I don't know how many black folks will be running to see that one because we know that movie is going to be devoid of color. So we automatically assume we can't relate to the story because there are no black people in it. And I think a lot of white folks will see The Best Man Holiday and say the exact same thing. Like, there's no white folks in it. I probably can't relate to the storyline. I'm not going to go. Yeah,
but there are a lot of white films that we do go see. Right. And like, specifically if they're a
action
hit.
Well, yeah, Avengers. And if it looks good, if the story looks good.
Or if there's a token, like there's a token white person in this. All of those, like the New Year's and Valentine's Day, they all have a token black person in it, Jamie Foxx or somebody else. Mm-hmm. And they're basically white stories about happening on Valentine's Day, white stories happening on New Year's Eve. And a lot of black people go to those because they're date movies. It's romantic comedy. And I think that that's what this is. It's a romantic comedy.
Yeah, it is romantic comedy. It's and about like, honesty.
It's about honesty.
Because to me, that's what
I don't go to see those movies in the theater.
I thought it was, the big thing I got it was honest because a lot of these, all the characters were not being honest, which at some point kind of bothered me because I was like, y'all ain't never talked about this. Like when said, well, like, how come you just can't be like, girl, I just saw you busted. What's this? Just be like, hey, baby, what's this? Why are you know, it was like you married a stripper.
And this that's probably going to happen. That was the best thing that he was like, he said, dude, you married a stripper.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what did you expect was going to happen? You fell in love with a stripper. How about that?
And she seems to have left that behind, which and has been cool. A good woman, and that's great. Like I loved when Mia and her man finally had that talk. I was so happy that she was like, why don't you blame me?
Because I am just as much guilty as
even
Harper
more,
is.
And be like, I chose him. I did this deliberately to hurt you with your whole ass.
Because you was.
Because that bothered athlete. Me in the first. And he was like, oh, she wouldn't like, dude, you've been hoeing around.
Right.
And you're so much into
yourself.
Your God. Well, it's like you put God first. You already know that karma is going to come back at you. And it came back at you hard.
And you reap what you sow. And
he's been
so
pissed at your homie all this time.
All this time. And it was so funny. And I love, Monica Calhoun. It was just so beautiful because it was when she was like, he needs you. He needs you. And you're like, you almost forgot, like, they were best friends. Like, that is, hence the name of the movie, The Best Man. Like, that was. They were tight, and the fact that that's what I also love was that you could still see that he was hurting that he didn't have his best friend.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like there was still distance. Because what happens is the best man happened, they end up getting married, but you know he's like, okay, I want to get married. Let's do it. But you know that stuff still lingers, and that's what happens in real life. Mm-hmm. Like if you don't really delve into like let's dig down deeper, like why are we feeling this way? You can get over something for a moment or for the event, and then it's just going to fester again. And that's what happened in this case. Yeah. And it was just, oh, wow. I really thought it was, I can't speak enough about it. I want to go see it again. Like my first Facebook status was like, Best Man Holiday equals winner. Can't wait to, I will go see that again.
Yeah.
Date night.
I might go see it again tomorrow.
I need to go see 12 Years a Slave.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah, I will say one thing that with Beth Miles, like, one was, like you said, it was a lot of stuff repeating because how he found out that Harper was writing. I was like, whose purse is that?
Why? Yeah, they recreated a lot of scenes.
They did recreate, but I mean, I guess that was the point. Again, to your point about honesty, I was just getting so annoyed. I'm like, just tell him. Right. Tell him you broke. I need to make, and I'm not trying to make money. But of course, this is entertainment, guys. Right. Like, yeah. This is how you make it. But I was like,
your homie is paid.
Yeah, like, why is it? It works out perfectly.
Yeah, it does.
And, I mean, just even seeing the cover. And I mean, and I what I was kind of enjoying was just how a biographer or author would break down a book.
I like that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Like, you sit and you're taking notes and like, oh, and it comes, like, what are your three words, I mean, that describe you? And he's like, God, family, and football. And I'm like, that is a brilliant title for a book. OMG.
Yeah, like, ladies, let's have a beef. But the football part, I was just like, really? I was like, this dude's going to put up 100-some-ass yards in the second half against what supposedly is like a top-ass defense. Get the fuck. But I was like, all right, look, it's Holly movies. And I was like, he really going to push three niggas. And like, no offensive lineman's going to help him out. He's just going to push three big-ass linemen for a touchdown. God, it's good. So I was
like, that's all you can do. Yeah, at that point, you're like, this must be a miracle. Yeah. It's a miracle because I mean, that's the point where I'm suspending disbelief because right, I'm like, right. I'm sort of into the moment at this point. I'm like, okay, this is, I knew the moment he got the call here. I mean, it's part of the movie. Right. Like, now that we're talking about, like, yeah, that's ridiculous. But in the moment, you're so caught up.
And you're happy.
And you're just so happy. You're like, I mean, this is what entertainment is. It's an escape. You know, movies are an escape. And for a moment, you get to escape. And you get to, it's fantasy. And you get to fall into the fiction. It's a great way to put it.
All the characters were who they were when we saw them in 1999, which was cool. So, like, all even though they had grown, their personalities and their character flaws were the same. So Harper's still somebody who is uncomfortable when he needs to confront a situation.
Right.
He still doesn't recognize the need of talking directly to the woman who he's in an intimate relationship with versus talking to his friends about his problems.
I'm sorry, the mother of his unborn child.
But I have to say, Sanaa Lathan, oh my God, every scene she was great in my nerves. But nonetheless, I was trying to give her a pass on being movie pregnant. Yeah. And then,
oh, you thought she was just like whiny?
It was just too much. Like, from the facial expressions. And I'm like, okay, help me understand why you are just so antagonistic against your husband when he wants you to relax during what the doctor is saying is a high risk pregnancy. Like, stop cutting your eyes at him. Stop giving him the shut the fuck up looks. Like, he's concerned.
I know, but I think part of that's hormonal. I think part of it is she may be high strung. Like, when you talk about, like, she wanted to cook for the whole crew.
Yeah.
Like, I think that's who she is. Mm-hmm. And, like, that's all he was doing. And then they didn't really get into this.
They didn't.
Obviously, they kind of got into it, but I guess I'm assuming she lost another baby.
Which to me would make her twice as cautious. If you know you've lost children before and now you're in another high-risk pregnancy.
It depends on the person.
But she must not be, that must not be who she is.
Yeah. Grating my nerves. Let me just say that yet and again. Grating my motherfucking nerves.
Because it was just like, basically the movie was like, we came off the wedding and ain't none of us kick it since then. Because I'm like, y'all ain't have no like
interaction.
You never interact with people at all?
And no, they just keep up with each other on Facebook.
And her and her discomfort with Jordan still. I had a conversation with a good friend of mine the other night, Desi. And she was like, I completely felt Sanaa Lathan's perspective. And she kind of helped me see it clearer. But I told her, I said, here is where it was bothering me. If you've been married to this man for 10 years, at what point are you going to trust him? Like, at what point are you going to trust him?
Well, my
or
thing,
is this his Achilles heel? Anytime
I don't know,
he's
because
around Jordan.
But my thing is, if they haven't had any interaction with Jordan, it seems the way they set this up,
like they
have not had interaction with Jordan.
None of these people seem to have really spent much time together.
Yeah, exactly. And that's why it was so important that she brought everybody together. Because, you know, some time had passed. And in my estimation, And that can happen. Mm-hmm. When friends live in different states and cities, you can, you know, it's possible. I mean, they did come together for the wedding, so it's not like they all lived in the same area.
But what they do, because Harper pops by Jordan's office, and the way he popped by, one.
But was it in New York or Chicago? I thought it was Chicago for some reason.
Wherever he lived, he had access to, he went to go visit his publisher.
Right, but maybe he's doing that on the side. Maybe he know, maybe, because I could see like Jordan and Harper having
still
a relationship,
having a friendship,
but him not involving his wife just because he doesn't want the friction.
Right. Mm-hmm. And because because his wife is probably like, oh, that's your friend. I don't want to get involved.
Exactly.
And
first of all, it helps the movies just for the tension and whatnot. True. But also, you know, obviously people were living their lives. Homegirl was being a housewife. A desperate housewife, so she was living her life. People were probably watching her through there, so everyone had all these assumptions. Obviously, Q went off to be a guru, and he probably keeps in contact with everybody. Those other two were running their school, so you know, the life probably got busy, so they probably aren't. And they all had just recently had, a lot of them had just had kids, so you know, you guys have, you know, kids, like, it's, that's how it goes. All of a sudden 6 and 7 years have passed and you haven't seen each other.
Right.
And I think what was helpful about that, and I think that the reason why I wasn't as bothered by Sanaa's frustration is because I can see that not having been dealt with. And it's Harper's responsibility to make her feel secure.
True.
And he has never made her feel secure. And he proved that all that time when they were at that house. Like, all those things come up. Like, she shouldn't be worried about you. Like, there's still some sexual tension between the two of them.
It's because
she shouldn't have to worry about that.
It's because it's like anybody that they have beef with, they never said. Like, I'm surprised, like, if Jordan is your homegirl like that, be like, hey, my wife love cooking. Come over. Let's sit down and let's hash this crap out.
I guess I'm thinking about the final scenes of the first movie. And at that point, when he makes the decision to choose her at the reception, because, you know, it was the same situation. He and Sanaa Lathan weren't talking to each other. And, you know, he's talking to Mia to try to figure, not Mia, talking to Jordan to try to figure out what to do to repair the situation. And he goes through the whole proposing to her. You know,
which I will say as an aside, that may be probably the biggest criticism is that Malcolm was a little lazy and that there's so many similarities to the first one. Like, look, remember in the first one how they weren't together and all of a sudden they came back together? Look, in the first one, how they.
Yeah, that's what I said when we were watching. I said, these scenes are all kind of, there's a lot of scenes that were recreated or a lot of moments recreated from the first film in the second one that just kind of, it brought you back to that place. Same problems, same issues, same tension.
Which makes you wonder.
Enjoyable.
It's still enjoyable. Yeah. Still entertaining. But, you know, definitely, obviously there's going to be a third. Mm-hmm. So, he needs to work on that. But yeah, I mean, you know, in conclusion, if you have not seen Best Man Holiday, please run out and go see it and support the film. You know, and listen, nothing is perfect, but I'm grateful that another story, another image, another side of Black life in America is on display in a positive way. And, you know, I say we have to go out and we have to continue to support. And I'm thankful that we have this venue, this avenue to discuss our criticism and our likes and our dislikes. And hopefully, you know, you will continue to patronize, because what we don't want to do is stop patronizing.
No, not at all. And did you notice the preview for Belle? Did you see the preview for Belle?
I did. That's on another Culture Connection, because I wasn't sure how I felt about Belle. Okay. What I won't be seeing is Black Nativity. And on that note, remember to make a career out of humanity. Commit yourself to the noble struggle for equal rights. You will make a greater person of yourself, a greater nation of your country, and a finer world to live in. The Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King. Thank you, laymen. Peace.
Peace.
Later.